welcome to Knotcast, episode 130, Furry Fiesta. Oh my god!
Oh my god.
No
kidding.
It's
so close.
So much
to do. You're going totally red letter media on this. Furry Fiesta is the worst con ever.
No, it
ruined everything.
Much like us.
And not just that fox's ass, everything.
Yeah. No, don't ever say that.
Welcome to the Fursuit Lounge, or as I call it, the freezer.
Oh.
That's all his fans.
Yeah.
Oh, that could be our theme for 2012, Red Letter Media.
You know? The Furry Con, yeah.
Yeah, make a whole Furry Con based out of, here's a variety show where you get murdered.
Oh. This part is where we get three women pour puzzles on the floor, and the last one to get it finished gets stuck in the freezer.
What the hell are you guys going on about?
Wow. Anyways, I'm Severin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Shiva, and very confused.
And Ricky's off in Tennessee somewhere.
Is it Tennessee or is it Arkansas?
No, I think he's in. He's not here.
It's Tennekinsaw. It's the state between Arkansas and Tennessee.
Tennekinsaw Cookie. It's
he's
like sort of the.
He's Sienna? In a. He's in a raked in the woods state of mind.
But yep, it is a week ish until Furry Fiesta. It'll be a week from the release of this episode.
This time next week, I'm going to be running around the hotel going, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god,
yeah.
Help me carry heavy things.
This time next week, I'll have my gaming area set up.
This time next week, I'll be in the middle of setting up my dealer's table since we have a dealer set up on Thursday.
Yes.
Yay!
Holy
You're
shit.
Welcome.
It's awesome, but so convenient for
it's
dealers.
Like, I've had all these other things going on, and then holy shit, the con's creeped up on me.
Yeah. Hello, it's here.
Luckily,
luckily
for Planet is well prepared.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But yep, it's been a pretty good week here, and we should get to the emails.
I guess.
Unless you want to do the...
If we must. No, I don't care.
We can do the shill section after the break.
I don't care when we do it.
Okay.
We'll talk about our Furry Fiesta plans after we read some email.
So. Yes.
Email.
Let's read some fucking email. Whoa!
Get to it then. Read email.
Okay.
Fine. Gosh.
All right. I'll start then. We'll go cockwise.
Which way is cockwise?
Well, I have a cock and he has a cock, so
okay.
It'll be this way.
She has a cock, too.
Not in real life. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that an internet secret? Was that not supposed to say that?
Oh, so we're going real life cockwise.
Yeah, right. real life cockwise. The order of people that have cocks.
Oh, read an email post.
You're just like, I don't care. Read an email. That closet cat again. Alex here again, writing in to ask Shiva how she ended up in a happy, it says polygamous, but I guess it's polyamorous is a more apt term, relationship. As previously mentioned, I'm bi, and my partner knows and accepts that, but she isn't much for sharing, which is a shame because I happen to love the cock, as it were. There's not much chance of a cut and run because we love each other quite a lot, and we've got a child together as well. I guess what I'm getting at is, were you initially monogamous and able to convince your mate that you wouldn't love them any less? Or, at the very least, do you have any advice that would cover it? Also, for Cage, thinking between Jackson, New Hampshire, this is relevant to an email we read last week. Some food for thought. Florida has been the only state this winter with no snow, and I'm regularly able to walk about in shorts and ride my motorized bike to work. Also, live outside of Jacksonville. Shit is crazy there. Of course, I used to live there, but I can't comment on what it's like now. It might be crazy there now. I don't know.
How I got to be poly. My second boyfriend introduced me to the concept badly. It was him and me and two other girls. And not everybody knew about everybody else.
Ooh, not good.
I knew about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because someone happened to drop a comment that she was going to be going and visiting my boyfriend. It's like, oh, and she was all happy and bubbly to me. It's like, yeah, such and such and such. And she was very much in love. You know, that happy, like,
mm-hmm.
It's like, did you know about me? And other chick is like, what? So, yeah, he introduced me to the concept of poly. But later on, it involved my current mate. We'd been together a couple of years, and we started talking philosophically.
Which current mate?
Siam.
Okay.
And it's basically, we both kind of discussed about our philosophies, which is basically, don't believe in just one true love. There's millions and millions and billions of people on this planet. I'm sorry, it's got to be possible for me to fall in love with more than one of them. And it also came down to the fact that I am not just bisexual, I'm very attracted to women. And I love him to death, but he still has an outie, and I like innies. So it came down to, just kind of looking around. We had a couple friends with benefits, a couple of them that we ended up caring a lot more than just friends were, but they weren't really looking for to form a relationship.
Mm.
I mean, we would have in an instant, but, she wasn't interested in anything more than friends with benefits. And it came down to, I started looking around on some of the poly boards, and there's a polymatchmaker.com, which is basically about the only dating site that lets you put up poly ads or offers much resources. And started looking around, see what kind of gals and such are in the area. And so we had been open to the idea of a third, and we kind of liked the idea. Now, keep in mind, a single, unattached female who's bi is kind of like the unicorn of the poly world. They don't exist. So,
or if they do, they're not unattached for very long.
Yeah.
Kind of like a female in the furry fandom, really.
So we were on a unicorn hunt and didn't find any, but shortly after all this happened, I happened to start talking with my other mate now, Akisha, the Aussie. And I had met him at AC 2001. In real life, he was a mutual friend, was coming over to AC for a... He was coming and making his trip through the US with a stop at AC, and I was at AC. We met up there in real life. We both had common friends, so, hey, here's someone I kind of know. Didn't know him all that well. Had a good time hanging out with him, but nothing clicked. A couple of years later, we'd been keeping in touch online. Nothing more than, hey, how are you? And then just slowly things started to click, and it went downhill from there, for lack of a better term. But coming to that whole point of coming and to a balanced relationship between Siam and Akisha, there was some points of real jealousy. There were some points of insecurity. It's not an easy thing to come and balance, and it all depends on what kind of poly you're looking for. There's basically, you've got one solid mate, and then you could have what equivalents to lovers or a boyfriend, girlfriend. There's what we have, which is a triangle or a V, where everything, I'm equal with both of them. There's the solid triangle where everybody's equal, but that takes a lot of bisexuality to pull off.
Gratuitous amounts of bisexuality.
More bisexuality than your body has room for.
So there's all different ones, from a whole branching to very friends with benefits to the whole just open relationship where you're just really good friends with the other people that you happen to be intimate with. I mean, there is such a degree of what you can do. It's basically poly's kind of, you're open to, I might just fall in love and it might be, it's forming an attachment with more than one person. You don't have to go as head deep into it as what I have. I mean, it can just be a lover on the side that you occasionally meet up with at FurCons twice a year. I've seen that on a couple of occasions where, it's a couple, little bit of fling now and then, but you mostly separate by distance, so.
Mm.
There's all degrees of it.
Science.
Yeah. Stuff. To do what works for you. I guess, I'm somewhere on that spectrum, because we have an open relationship, which is really just, I have one mate, one person I'm in love with, but the rest is like we have friends with benefits also occasionally. But it's, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I was for a very long time. I just had friends with benefits. I had Siam, and there was a couple ones that I felt very attached to, mm-hmm. and it just didn't click. And then we had this whole setup where it takes a lot of work, and I don't know if it ever fell apart with one of the set of us, if I would actually go and even be really open to setting this up again, because it is a hell of a lot of work.
It sounds like it.
And it's, you gotta kind of mind your resources. One of our listeners was actually asking me about this. And it's, you only have so much free time if you're working and everything else like that. And when you have more than one person, you have to split it up between those people. And there's only so many hours in the day.
Yeah. When you were saying you have to mind your resources, I was like, yep, you guys only have so many orifices. So.
Even if it's a cat, you know.
Even for it's a cat, yeah.
All right.
Stuffed full of orifices.
Well, that's pretty much it. It's tiring at times. It really is.
All right.
But overall worth it. Let's not end on a down note.
No, it is very
You're
much
like,
worth
oh,
it.
It's tiring at times. And Sarah's like, okay, on to the next email. And I was like,
no, if it wasn't worth it, I wouldn't still be doing it. It's just I don't know if I would get this deep into it again.
Right.
Yeah.
Knowing what I know now.
Well, words of experience, you know, it's like you've been at this a while, so.
Yep. Words to live by.
Yep, so we're going to go back around to me. Subject, my parents are cool.
They're like fezzes and badgers.
Yes. Hey, Knotcast crew, I know I haven't written in to y'all in a while, but I don't have any questions, but I do have an interesting and hopefully humorous story to tell. In your last episode, I heard a bunch of people writing in about how their parents either didn't like them being furry, or they weren't sure how their parents would react to it. My parents are different, though. My parents are just fine with it. They always raised my little brother and myself to be respectful and tolerant of others regardless of where they are, or what they are. Considering my little brother is so gay, he practically gives off a rainbow aura wherever he goes, me being a furry wouldn't be a big deal. My parents figure so long as I'm not using it as an excuse to be a serial killer, then they don't care what I do.
I have to wear your skin.
Yes.
It'll be
it's
a new fursuit.
Skin suit. They even have a bit of good humor about it.
I was fat. I wanted to be skinny. So I'm wearing skins.
I'm going to be at Free Weekend Atlanta next month. Originally, my parents and my little brother were going to be going to Disney World at the same time, but their plans fell through. My mother joked, "How about instead we go with you to that fuzzy convention? Fuzzy conference." After stumbling over myself with laughter for about 5 minutes, I corrected her that it was a furry convention, but I think she still calls it the fuzzy conference constantly as a running joke. I suggest that she might want to go to Cedar Point instead for vacation with Dad and my little brother, since they all love roller coasters. You love roller coasters way more than you want to go to a furry con, Mom. Just let me tell you. Anyways, the point is that there are some parents out there who don't mind that you're a furry, and if you're lucky, you'll have some lighthearted fun with it along with you. I'll be at FWA next month, and if any of you guys will be there, I hope to see you. In conclusion, I'll leave you with the words of advice my father gives me before I leave the house to go somewhere. Have fun and be safe. Marcus Noble, the hockey, Doctor Who, and WWE Lovin' Skunk.
Oh god, another one.
Wait, what?
Another one what?
WWE.
Oh.
Siam watches that shit.
Hey.
Well, Marcus, she just told you what she thinks of.
Hey, it's still real to them.
So I'll be at FWA, so come by and see me.
Yeah.
And I'll have straight material with me, so I'll have something that you can buy.
Well, see, my parents are okay with it. They
hell, they've been dealers at Fiesta.
Yeah, they were dealers at Fiesta, and they're going to be in town, so they're going to meet up with myself and my sister at the con, so we can go to lunch. They're not tending, obviously, but they'll probably walk around, take photos, and just mingle.
Cool.
And besides, it's your mom and dad. We feel bad throwing them out.
they can walk through the common areas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is a public hotel, but...
Yeah.
But they're not allowed in the yiffing, scritching, or whatever room.
Yeah. It's that or whatever that really gets you.
In the CSI room.
I need to rewatch that episode because...
For God's sake, why?
Because I've been answering the contact email for Furry Fiesta, which gets all the weird emails.
Oh,
and I've gotten like 15 of them of, is this like the CSI episode? It's like, I don't even remember what it was like.
It's like, no, it's... Totally not like CSI episode.
It's exactly like CSI episode. Bitches die. Bitches get poisoned. People get run over in suit.
You know.
It's a really good time. Woo! They have panels on lifestyling and they make... having heard from a couple of real life suitors, apparently, however they described the suit is like really, really bad. Those like the underlayer, because you know how to wear like the skin tight garment underneath the suit to soak up the sweat and shit. Apparently, the one that they had in CSI, it was some sort of rubber suit under the fursuit, which would just cause you to sweat to dehydration and die. Well, it was like you wouldn't really make a suit like that.
You know, CSI plays fast and loose with reality as it is.
Yeah. You know,
it's not exactly the pinnacle of television quality.
The B plot in that episode, Uncle Kage, because he's a chemist in real life, actually had posted this big long thing about, because they had this thing about like the blood drop was frozen and something about shooting a gun into a block of ice because a murder had been committed in like a big freezer.
In the freezer, yeah.
He was talking about how none of that shit is actually scientifically accurate. It's all wrong.
Yes.
So even that, they fucked up. So it's not just the furry shit that they fuck up.
Yeah, so CSI. Yeah, well, that's good that your parents are cool with it. And while I will not be attending FWA, you will still have fuzz to poke and bring cookies.
Don't poke me, please. Just
okay, don't poke him.
Bring me cookies.
I've had a reader ask me to ask you what kind of cookies you like.
Oh, chocolate chip or white chocolate macadamia. That's good.
So there we go. Now everybody knows what kind of chocolate chip, what kind of cookies to bring Fuzz. And so when
if I'm not fat, I'll start tweeting during that con, fatter and suspicious. People keep bringing me cookies.
Well, they can also bring you drinks, but, you know, make sure they don't chocolate have roofies in them.
Ironically, it's like, I'll have cookies and shit like that, but I was drinking Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi for so long that... Now I like the taste of them so much that I accidentally got regular Pepsi the other day. And like I ordered pizza and it was like 10 minutes before they closed. And I accidentally ordered regular Pepsi instead of Diet Pepsi. And now Diet Pepsi tastes nasty to me.
Oh, God, you broke your diet setting.
It's not that it tastes too sweet. It just tastes nasty. I don't know what it is, but I like the taste of Diet Pepsi and Diet Coke, so...
Thank you.
Well, that was
random.
That was really.
No,
this is how my brain works. This is what comes from watching Doctor Who for over 30 years.
So, if you want to bring him a drink as a favor in the den, bring him Diet Coke.
Yeah, that was the point I was making. You said drink, and I was like, well, hopefully not one full of sugar, unless it's like a martini or something. But I don't think I can drink that in a dealer's room.
The thing is Coke over Nas is made with sugar, and it tastes really good. And well, after drinking it for 3 years over here, I came back to the U.S. and had some of the Coke here. It's like, oh my God, what's that horrible aftertaste?
Corn syrup.
And since that, I haven't had a lot of taste for drinking soda over here because I just taste the corn syrup.
Which is why a lot of people prefer either the Canadian or Mexican Coca-Cola. They still make them with real cane sugar.
Or Dublin Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Yep. So, next email.
So it's the cockless one?
Yes.
Cock minus one.
Off topic. Love triangle.
Oh, boy.
Is it relationship math time? It may just be.
I'll get out my calculator.
Triangle. It's relationship trigonometry.
Hello, Fuck. Naughty Notcasters. I enjoy listening to your show for about a year now, and it's been enjoyable listening, even though I still have a few to catch up on. have enjoyed your antics, and thank you for introducing me to Adam and Eve, from which I've recently gotten a double dildo with a calendar as a mystery gift. Anyways, I apologize.
You can keep track of who you're going to fuck on what day.
Anyways, I apologize in advance for the wall of text off-topic email. It's not that big. But I do need advice.
You said it was a good size.
Well, I didn't actually say how big the double dildo is. Anywho. Currently, I am caught in a situation that I can only describe as a love triangle. Basically, this. A few months ago, a local furry couple, a skunk and a fox, broke up after a few years-long relationship. Let's see. Since then, they've remained close, though not necessarily together. Shortly afterwards, I did the same thing with my then-boyfriend, though it was completely unrelated. As the past few months have passed, I've been growing closer to the fox at the same time that the skunk has been growing closer to me. And by growing closer, I don't mean, oh, they might have feelings for each other, how cute closer. I mean, it's rather blunt. Me having asked the fox out and the skunk making obvious passes. Well, it's still known that the skunk and fox are together. Wait, I thought they said up here that they weren't. Maybe it's off again, on again.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow.
I'm getting confused. I wasn't good at trig.
This has led to the occasional awkward situations at local gatherings when all three of us are present, usually with two of us paired off somehow for short periods of time, sitting next to each other or whatnot. The thing is, I've asked out the fox, and while the details are funny, the skunk fuzzy, not funny, the skunk is still getting closer to me, and it's starting to make me feel uncomfortable due to an age difference that exists between me and the skunk, but not between me and the fox. I haven't been completely unfair to the skunk, giving him a chance, but his advances have been a bit much for me to take lately. I've been wanting to bring it up with him, but everyone involved has been wrecked with stress from school, work, and and pretty much everything, which has made me worried about not just rejecting him. I know you're all likely to suggest that I be upfront with him, but after seeing how the stress has gotten him during the last meet, it all seems that options are just a drama bomb waiting to go on. Off. Some direction.
Pick one! It will not only explode, it'll implode as well!
Just as well, I don't think I could try and be just friends with a fox, as he's been one of the few people to make me happy lately. I've been pulling off doing anything for that, as well as having kept busy with school, which is accurate. I've been swamped with schoolwork lately, but this can't go on indefinitely. What should I do? Let's see. Thank you for dealing with this email. You all do good work with the show, and I always enjoy listening to it.
I'm thinking, he said our advice for us basically to just be upfront with the skunk. And even though it is a huge drama bomb waiting to happen, you're just delaying the inevitable. It's like a drama bomb on a timed release at this point that you're just putting off and putting off. You might as well just fucking rip the bandaid off. And if he's kind of sounded like he's creeping you out, well, maybe not that harsh, but he did sort of express discomfort at the way this person is coming on to. Sounds like it might
be being a little bit strong.
Yeah, handed. I would definitely tell the skunk to back the hell off at the very least.
The only thing that worries with me that if it is mid-semester in school and it is, I have seen this kind of thing impact schoolwork.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, it destroyed me when I broke up with my first boyfriend my second semester in college. So I would say let it go as long as possible, or at least maybe wait till the school year is wrapping up.
My only problem with that is that between high school and college, that shit happens all the time.
Mm.
People make up, break up, start dating other people, fuck over each other, steal boyfriends and girlfriends, and it's just part of life when you're young, is having all that rigmarole and up and down. And there's always going to be some kind of drama that could potentially affect your schoolwork, and you can't put it all off till summer vacation.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of,
I'm worried because he feels like he's being unduly pressured by somebody that he needs to just, because that's going to affect him negatively too.
There is that.
Plus, there's the age difference that he mentions as well between he and the skunk.
How big of age difference, I wonder, we're talking. He doesn't mention anywhere near.
19 and 900.
So he's dating a Time Lord? I don't see a problem with this. No. I do see a problem, though, with, like, if he's, like, 18 and the guy's, like, 40. But that's just me.
Yeah. So. Because then he'd always be all like, when I was your age, I was 18, too. And he'd just be like, okay.
Yeah.
So that's our advice on that.
Yes. Whatever degree of useful that was.
I think I was useful.
I'm not sure about me.
Well, Chacats have like limbs and everything everywhere, so you're very useful. Oh, and Sean Rabbit had tweeted something. I can't remember how long ago, but it was something like, "How do you get money from a Chacat?" Shake out the couch cushions.
Oh, I hadn't seen that one.
It was like, yeah. Credit where credit's due. That was
Streak was helping
the
us
bunny on Twitter
wrap soap for a fiesta last night, and we're like throwing soap at him as fast as he can pack in the box. He says,
"Was he that dirty that you were throwing soap at him?"
But he's like, "Slow down! I only have two hands," and I tell him to grow a pair. At which point, Guardian throws something at me because he thinks I meant balls and I meant hands.
Oh, God. Can't chickens, you know,
God,
sit up and use their forepaws?
Guardian just has a dirty mind.
You know, as innocent as he's, yeah.
Well, it's like, no, in that situation, would you tell someone to grow a pair of balls because they can't handle the amount of stuff you're throwing at them? Man up! Handle that soap! It's time to sack up and wrap that soap.
Wow. Okay.
Little man. Just being unduly abusive to someone that's helping you out. You know? If you're going to be a pussy about it, then get the fuck out after you finish wrapping that soap.
He would be a pussy. He's a chickat.
He'd be both.
Read an email, Fuzz.
Oh my God. Tits and cocks everywhere. Okay. Jackass guy steals close friend. Film at 11. Hey there, Evercast of the Knot. I start Evercast, like EverQuest, but not with more Dogcock. I started listening to your cast after the third episode and had been an ever faithful listener and occasional writer until a year and a half ago when I simply forgot to continue downloading new episodes. I was quite frankly surprised when I saw you guys were still going strong. And with Recky back on the team. Now I'm not even close to catching up on old episodes, but looking back makes me feel kind of old. Oh, how does that make us feel? You can just skip the last year and a half and just pick it up now. Because we're as good as we ever were. Woo. I don't know where I'm going.
And over there.
I just sort of, I had a train of thought and then it was a little engine that couldn't because he was a worthless bum like your father. And now for a problem. This what? Tavern looks like he wants to kill me. Shiva's giggling. And now for a problem. This fall, my group of close friends had a terrible falling out because an unnamed cat decided to run off with a wolf we had spent many months of unrelenting drama trying to explain was bad news. When this all happened last winter, when we had introduced the two, not knowing that the wolf was engaging in sex with a very underage boy, when we found this out, my best friend and myself personally made the
decision. Not desiccation.
I was like, okay, so are you reading this? Oh, you're reading this on your computer. Okay. Made the desiccation to cut out wolf from our lives. Are you sure it's not desiccation? There's cutting. At the time, Cat was in a relationship with a young female fox, and everything seemed to go well until he started mentioning wolf quite frequently in conversation. One night, the vixen came crying to me because Cat had cheated on her with wolf and then dumped her several weeks after because he was gay. I was quite mad and went to confront Cat about this, because he had never been the type of person to do such a thing. Now we had figured he was possibly gay long before all of this happened, and being by myself, while never imposing on him, I had made it clear that if he ever needed anyone to talk to, I was there. But then I had figured because he had found a guy, he might be more open and we could sort through any issues he had together. Sure, he had made an asshole move with a guy who was dealing with a huge mistake, but I was willing to look past that. Though in our conversations, I made it pretty clear that cheating on such a girl who was head over heels with him only hurt her more, and that Wolf wasn't the best person to be getting involved with considering his rap sheet was growing. When Wolf found out I had been warning Kat not to date him, he went haywire and did everything in his power to personally attack me, including saying that I had forced Kat to date Vixen. First of all, I had nothing to do with them going out, and secondly, at that point in time, he was well in the closet. Cat was under Wolf's spell, and didn't seem to care that his friends were being accused of terrible things, but shut completely down whenever we told him that Wolf was a jackass, because Wolf had made sure to constantly let him know I was just making things up solely because I was jealous of them being together. Needs more punctuation. That was like one breath. After several months of this, we gave up and told Cat we couldn't be his friend anymore if he continued to let his mate insult us, and him thinking it was his friends or the guy ran off with Wolf.
That doesn't make...
I'm kind of confused about that sentence there. I think I might be missing a few words. But now, unsurprisingly to anyone, Wolf left Cat for someone he had been trying to date for quite some time now.
Was it another young boy?
I don't know yet. I'll tell you in a moment, if the email tells me. Vixen, who had been left in the dark about much of what had happened, ran to him with open and forgiving arms, and Kat was stunned when I refused to do the same. He had said that he learned a lesson and admitted that he truly felt like I was just being petty, but was right in the end. Should I let him back into my life? Because after all, he never said anything bad about me, but at the same time, he completely ditched his friends for a jerk who did a very good job at manipulating him. I hope you can help, a northern koi dog. So, okay, I don't know who Wolf's dating or how young they are, but...
Okay.
Love makes people do stupid shit. It's, you know...
Yeah, I've seen people do this a lot. They get involved with someone and...
A little bit obsessive.
And even if it's not a negative situation like this one, you can get involved with someone and then just shut everything else out. Because, and when you're in that head-over-heels stage, you're just spending time with that person, and you're kind of, to the just exclusivity, just ignoring everything else around you. This kind of situation, I've seen this happen a couple of times, too, and even with not in, like, love relationships, but like I was saying a few weeks back, when I back when I lived in Florida, I don't know if I said this on the show or if this was private. I'm not. Anyway, yeah. Back when I lived in Florida, there was a dude who... had kind of, we'd all eventually seen through his bullshit, and he was on the, kind of on the outs with everyone that actually hung out in the community and stuff. So whenever a new fur arrived, this guy tried to meet them first and talk shit about everybody else in the community. But most people have a brain in their head and don't just listen to everything that they're fed. And eventually the guy did want to meet more people. So he met up with me. He met up with some other friends. They're like, wow, you guys are all nothing like what so-and-so told me you were like, you know, and just kind of eventually saw through it. And this is the same kind of shit. You know, he was just led by the nose by this guy who sounds like a fucking asshole. Yeah, you do have the right to kind of hold a grudge because he had some really dick moves. But depending, I don't know the cat, but depending on what his past history was, I mean, if he doesn't have a history of doing this kind of thing, it could have been a one-off, you know, dumb rookie mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully he has learned a valuable lesson from this about not just believing everything that you're told and not cutting out everyone else in your life when you get involved with someone. If I were you, email writer, I would be open to giving Kat a shot at it being back in your life. You might want to start with maybe keeping him at arm's length, you know, not get too close immediately, not get too trusting immediately, but hang out with him, be social, be friendly, and then just kind of see how it goes and see if you guys kind of grow close together again, you know, just give it a shot.
Well, I was going to say that you actually said a lot of what I was going to say, but we've had that happen here in our local community too, and you know, even had it happen with one of our close friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and eventually they came back around after seeing through this person's bullshit, and, you know, they're like, wow, I was a dumbass. So, I mean, I would say, you know, give him a second chance, but like Fuzz said, keep him arm's length for a little while and see what he's going to do.
Yeah. And base your decision. You know his past more than we do. Base your decision kind of on that. Does he pull this dick move like every 6 months with somebody different? Or has he been a pretty good guy the whole time you've known him and this is the first time that some fucked up shit has happened?
Yeah. Only thing that I'm going to add to that is encourage Kat to get his ass tested before he's doing anything with the vixen.
Yeah, because it kind of sounded like Wolf had been around a bit. So that's always a good idea.
The last thing any furry community needs is a local STD breakout.
Yeah. Sorry, do you have any? I yapped.
No, you guys pretty much covered everything.
Okay. So it's your turn, Zavin.
One more email and then go to the break.
All right.
Subject, some friendly comments about past shows and then a serious question. Dear Fuzzwolf, Zavin, Shiva, and Reki, I love your podcast and was one of your first 50 listeners. You have no idea how hard it is not to burst out laughing when I listen to the podcast while in the passenger seat of my very Catholic father's car as we take long trips back and forth across the strait for various reasons.
Oh, my.
When I first discovered I was a furry, you guys were the first human contact I made within the furry community. They really taught me what
furry... Can I repeat that? Oh, my.
And they really taught me what the furry's all about. Oh, my.
Oh, no.
And everyone
oh,
is...
no! Sorry.
You guys have no idea how much it means to some of us lone furs out in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, South Dakota. On that note, I would like to add to the list that Shiva... That also, like Shiva, my graduating class is small. 45, to be exact, and I drive 15 miles every day to and from school.
Yep, another small town.
Also, as of my knowledge, I'm the only bisexual guy in the entire high school and only furry in the county. I also really know how frightening it can be different among some... Okay. I really know how frightening it can be to be different among everyone you know. And I'm not even out of the closet yet, but rumors are slowly leaking out as my door is not airtight. Hopefully I'll be safely in college before word gets out and I'll be able to come out of the closet at a not-so-frightening place. Also, I'd like to add that May 21st, 2011 is my graduation day, and I'll be damned if the world's going to end that day. If the world's going to end the day, I get the fuck out of high school. On a related note, the other date the world is allegedly supposed to end is 12-12-2012. Just so we know, we can mark our calendars.
The now, calendar that you may get free with adamandeve.com with your purchase of a double-ended dildo.
Yes. Now for my serious questions, but first for a bit of background information. I am currently engaged in a gay relationship with a sexy 17-year-old model from the next county. We've been together for 3 months and have really gotten to know each other. We've... have so much in common that he's a great guy and loves me for who I am, and I also love him, but our relationship feels weird to me. It's hard for me to tell how I really feel towards him. Part of it, I think, is because of my previous relationship. Before I labeled myself as bisexual, I was in a straight relationship that lasted for 13 months, and during that time I developed a strong love for my ex. Now, with my relationship with this guy, I find it hard to develop a strong love for him as I did with my ex. Another reason I think could be preventing me from this... I'm gonna lose my place... is because furry is part of who I am, and he wants nothing to do with it. He loves me very much, but since he wants nothing to do with furry, and I planned on attending fur meets eventually, I can't help but wonder if it's not a good idea being together. I love being with him, but I can't help feeling that there's someone better suited for each other out there. Letting him down is the last thing I want to do, because I'm the only decent boyfriend he's ever had. My question for you is, what do you think I should do about this? Do you think I should stick it out to see if our relationship grows to a point where me being an active furry won't be an issue? Or break it off now so things don't get complicated down the road? Any and all advice is welcome. Sincerely, Cisco, the South Dakota Husky. Sent from his HTC. So that would explain why the grammar was a little off.
Autocorrect. Fail.
So.
you're with someone who's not a furry, doesn't want anything to do with furry. Question is, do they just not want to go to furmates, or do they want you to not do it either?
They're like, are they like, eh, I don't feel like going, or are they like, yiff in hell?
Yeah, there's a difference between I'm not interested in your hobby and I actively despise your hobby.
Yeah, it's a fine line between me and WWE at times. I mean, it really depends.
You know, you're both still young, and I don't think that, you know, really, like, anything serious is going to come in the next little bit. You're going to be going off to college. And he's, you know, got growing up to do. He's still a red badge. My personal take on it is, I mean, see where things go. You're going to be off of college before too long. And it's entirely possible that the relationship won't survive due to distance. It's one of those, it's a great big question mark. And, you know, planning.
I don't see it as a deal breaker right at this juncture.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a deal breaker right now. Because you go to college, you'll probably meet some furs. Maybe you'll find someone you like better. Maybe not.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't hurt to keep your options open.
A, you're in South Dakota. Your options are limited. Go for it. B, not to be a total dick. Well, Saffron just gave me the glare. The penis shriveling glare.
No, that didn't quite look like that. That looked like it has serious just mix of doubt in with that glare. Like, what the fuck are you talking
about?
It was
a really arched eyebrow. He kind of looked like the dude in Phantasm. The boy! Anyway. So there's that. Mainly, I would say that unless he's actively like, I hate fucking furries, yiff in hell, you fucking fur fag. If you get involved with this shit, I don't want anything to do with you. If he's just like, I'm not a furry, but whatever, I wouldn't limit yourself to dating solely furries. Now,
there's a lot of options out
because
there.
That really does narrow your field, especially when if you're looking
for furries in South Dakota.
Well, you're looking for furries in South Dakota who are either female, i.e. unicorns, or gay or bi. Then you're really narrowing your options down to a niche within a niche within a niche. Not the niche. He writes comics. That's something different. So I wouldn't really say it's a deal breaker if he's not a furry. You know, it's like, if my mate wasn't into Doctor Who, it wouldn't be like, oh, fuck, it's a deal breaker. I have to go to the Gallifrey convention and find a boyfriend there because I can never date a non-Doctor Who fan.
Non-Whovian?
I wasn't saying that, you know, you should just ditch the guy if he's not into your thing, but I'm saying...
Oh, I know. I didn't think you
now,
were.
Now, if Tyrion burnt your Doctor Who stuff every time he turned around...
It'd be
around.
Fucking over. You burn anything of your partner's shit that you know that they really treasure, it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
You're just being a fuck, and that relationship is over.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that goes with, like, any hobby you have in common with your mate.
Right.
Or even if you don't have a common, because, I mean, Panther sure as fuck doesn't care about, you know, fighting games, and he doesn't care about MMOs.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just one of those things. It's the difference between... I don't play games, and Tyrion does, and, you know, RPGs, WoW, etc. But it's not like I burn his, WoW CD. And I was like, but it's mostly installed or downloadable content nowadays.
No. Log on and delete
if you took his massive bookshelf full of RPG books and burned it.
Yeah.
We wouldn't find your body, for one, but, right. The badger would eat
it. You know, there's a difference between being completely hostile to your interests and just not sharing your interests, and I think we've drilled that point more than we really need to, but I'm just kind of, just kind of where I'm at. So you've really got nothing to lose by just giving it a shot. I think it's very common that your first relationship is going to be, oh my god, I'm heart deep. I'm so fucking in love. Nothing could ever compare to this. And then you feel shattered when that doesn't work out like most of the time it doesn't, because it's your first relationship. So your next relationship is always going to feel different. And you're going to, a lot of times you're going to ask yourself, can I ever truly love again? And it's very common for it to take longer for you to really build up to the point where you feel like you're in love with this person. So the fact that you don't feel quite right in comparison to your first relationship, that's kind of normal.
Well, that, and every relationship feels differently. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's more intense and you have more highs and more lows. Sometimes it's a more steady relationship where it's your best friends and lovers. Every person you have a relationship will feel differently. So if it doesn't feel the same, don't worry. It's normal. Everybody's different. You love people differently to different degrees, to different strengths. It's normal.
And a lot of times your relationship will change over time, too. It'll start out with very passionate highs and lows, and then it'll kind of mellow out into a routine. Or maybe it won't. You know, like I said, everyone's different. It just depends.
Go ahead.
No, I'm done. Someone was the end of my thought.
Told me that there's, when you get in a relationship with someone, you actually fall in love with three people. You fall in love with the person as you perceive them to be, which may not be accurate. It's based on your first impressions and may not be based on truth. It's the person as you idolize them as. There's the person that they are. Which is as you get to know them and you get to know their faults and their hidden strengths.
Excuse me.
And you get to know the person as they really are. And then there's the person that they're going to be, because everybody evolves. So that's the three people that you.
Yeah. One day Tiernan and I will go Super Saiyan and we will still love each other.
So, yes.
So, okay. On that note, we're going to go to a break, and this week's song is from the new OC Remix album, Heroes and Villains. It's called Pirate Shout. Enjoy.
Go ahead.
And we're back. Hopefully you enjoyed that. And now, a word from AdamandEve.com. This week's item is, since we've talked double dildos already, and Adam and Eve's a fine source for your own...
double stuff.
Yes. The double stuff to your Oreo.
So intense.
It's double dildo all the way. And with 18 inches, that should be long enough.
It should be.
I hope.
Well, this particular one, it's an with dual penis shaped tips. And I'm like, what else would it be tipped like?
Drill bits.
In any event, it is an ultra flexible double dildo. It's perfect for couples or solo use. Easy to hold on to.
If you're a fetic and you need to do your own colonoscopy by installing a camera on one of the penis heads.
It's flexible enough for double penetration experiments or for two partners to comfortably use at the same time. Be sure to use water-based lube with this one for smooth, easy penetration. It's a silicone toy.
Ah. So
water-based lube only. And it's got 4-star review. 4 out of 5 stars. So it's quality dong. It's $19.95, but if you use our coupon code KNOT, that's KNOT, at checkout, you'll get 50% off one item, free shipping, and mystery gift, and some usually DVD.
Porn.
Some porn, yes. You'll get some extra porn to watch while stuffing yourself with both ends of a dildo.
And if the porn's not here today, bring it to Half Price Books. Or Goodwill. Because God knows the poor needs something to be happy about.
Yeah. Yeah, just don't take it to CCA. They don't like that.
Wait, what's CCA?
It's a local thrift store. It's a Christian Community Action. They have a thrift store.
Oh, that would be a Community Action, all right.
Isn't it up in Louisville or something?
There's one in Louisville. There's one on the corner of Frankfurt and...
you giggling?
There's another item on AdamandEve.com that had me amused. The headgear BJ strap. And look at this picture. It is a strap that you can hold behind your partner's head to direct the blowjob. So it's just so like...
just don't grab a hold of the ears and pull?
No, it's just, I'm going to hold this bitch's head in place with the fucking leather strap.
Wow.
It looks like a piece of exercise equipment.
Place the soft, smooth, 21-inch faux leather strap behind your lover's head. Then use the steel handles to pull your lover towards you. Guys, direct your next blowjob until you explode. And it's equal opportunity. Gals, keep his face where it belongs until you come.
Well, see, what I thought was... Only
$14.95.
When I thought it's like, guys, keep her face where it belongs. I tell you, I was like, wow. Like, that's where it belongs, bitch.
Okay.
Hey.
Barefoot, pregnant, and attached to my dick with the blowjob strap in the kitchen.
God.
Combine all the horror in one. So just the description. Whoa, it's a 5-star item.
How many reviews does it have?
I don't know. It just says average rating 5 stars. Let's see what it says under customer reviews. I love this. We have also used this around my waist as my husband pulls back, puts my ass in the perfect position for a pounding. Love it.
Was this comment helpful? 10 people found this comment helpful. 3 did not.
You're like, I don't want my ass pounded.
Wow. So on that note, we should go back to reading some emails. Or no, wait. No, no emails. We should talk. Shill.
Oh.
We should talk about the con that we're running.
Okay,
in like
week. Let's talk about the convention in general and, okay, so I'm going to shill. Here's what I'm doing at the con. I am running 2 dealer's tables for Fur Planet. So I have 2 tables. We have Fur Planet officially has 1 new item on top of the 9 new items we brought out last month. Resisting Arrest by Phil Goish, which is a sci-fi novel. A couple anthro characters in it. Really amazing cover by Ware Puppy. It's good. You like it. We're also going to have a book release party for the book, probably Friday afternoon. So we'll probably put out some flyers for that. The other new release we'll have is Volume 3 of Roar from Bad Dog Books, which we are actually helping out the editor with doing like a final typo pass on that now. We'll actually be printing that up at home and binding it. Old school, like we used to do before we sent shit out to be printed, but you know, it's coming in kind of late. Great cover. Tieran and I were lucky enough to get the original of it. It's up on my wall now. In addition, basically at this con, I'm four dealers in one. Don't make a fat joke. So I just ordered a bunch of shit from Club Stripes. So for those of you who were asking for copies of Cocktails, I have them now. So I have copies of every issue of Cocktails, Best of Club Stripes 1 and 2. I will also be, have not received it yet, it will be here Monday, but I am receiving a couple boxes of comics from Rabbit Valley, and I'm going to have hopefully plenty copies of their new releases, because they brought out four new things just last month. So I got to briefly peruse them before we sold out at FC, but I'm actually going to pick up some copies for myself this time, because I want Wear Puppy's Fast Boys delivery service look pretty hot. And we sold out of it at FC, so we'll have more of that in stock. We also have a shitload of Sofa Wolf stuff. Like, I've got like plenty of copies of Isolation Play. So if you haven't ordered it online and you weren't at FC and you've been waiting for Hometown Con here at Furry Fiesta, come to Furry Fiesta. We'll have lots of copies of Isolation Play. Kyle is going to be at our table signing for the first 2 hours of the day when the dealer's room opens on Friday, and then another 2 hours on Saturday afternoon. So you will have some opportunities to have your books signed by Kyle Gold. And he'll sign his older books as well if you want to bring ones that you've already purchased there. We will also have an extremely limited amount of the Isolation Play hardcovers. And we'll probably do much like Soap Wolf did at FC. We'll put half of them on sale Friday morning and the other half on sale Saturday morning. So my advice, if you want an Isolation Play hardcover at Furry Fiesta where you can actually get it signed, will be to get to the dealer's room, get to my table first thing, and we will have a few copies there available. And we also have Anthro Dreams books. I stocked up on that again. So if you like anthologies like Alone in the Dark, Different Worlds, Different Skins, we've got that covered. I've got all the other Sofa Wolf books covered too. That's everything.
That's a lot,
man. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff. So we got Club Stripes, Rabbit Valley, Sofa Wolf, and all of our own For Planet and Bad Dog Books stuff. Jeez. So we'll have fucking everything.
I'm not helping you carry that in.
No. Luckily, I will have Buck and Zia will be helping me. Tieran will be there. Ciani is selling his books at the table next door to me, so I'm sure I can rope him into dragging around some boxes too. So we should have plenty of help. I'll also be running back and forth on Thursday and Monday, getting people to and from the airport. So I'm going to have a pretty busy weekend.
Super shuttle.
Well, rather than use me, I guess. But it's also my birthday, Friday of the con. So basically, I've got a suite. We're going to do the book release party in the afternoon. And then Friday night, I'm going to go to the Unsheathed Live podcast. And then after that, I'm going to have a few people over to the room. We'll have some drinks. Got like a little birthday party. You know, if you want to come by, come on by. Bring some booze. Be 21 if you're going to drink.
Bring cake.
Sure. What the fuck? Bring cake. Let's see how much cake we can get.
Oh, God, yeah. Help us.
I'll be 35 on the day of the con, so I want to have a good time.
Yeah. I'm actually looking at the schedule here and seeing what's against what, and like Unsheathed is right up against Rocky Horror, and I'm like, ah!
Yeah, but if you've seen Rocky Horror once, you've seen it a thousand times. Whatever. Unsheathed all the way. This is a podcast, so we're going to be like totally behind our podcasting buddies. Also, two of the authors that I've published under Fur Planet are going to be guests on Unsheathed. Zia, author of Save the Day, and Siani, author of Seeing Spots and all the Howard Walls books, are both going to be guests on the Unsheathed Live at Furry Fiesta.
It's been kind of amusing and or quaint to see them be like, oh my god, I'm going to be Unsheathed. It's cute.
It's cute. I'm like, oh, Pat, I've been on twice. No. Bam, spike it. No, but I got to be there to support my people. You know, I won't embarrass them, I swear.
Much.
Oh, you kids, you're so cute with your podcast.
No, it's cool. I really like it, and I really dig that they, you know, they're a writing podcast, true, but they really do support all the writers and publishers and give them a chance to talk about some of their projects that they're working on or have worked on.
Yeah, it's a good show.
I think it's a really good opportunity for them, and I'm very happy that they're doing it.
Well, I'm going to be down in video gaming all weekend. It's in the Elm Room. It's where the video room was last year. So I'm actually in a little bit smaller space because we've reorganized, but we don't have LAN gaming to worry about because that went nowhere last year.
No point wasting the space on it.
No point wasting space. This year we're going to have at least 6 TVs with consoles going on it. We've got Super Street Fighter 4, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Brawl, because everybody loves Brawl. Vidya Gaming. A couple people bring in Rock Band with like 300 songs, I think, some guy was saying.
Whoa.
And
that's a lot of songs.
I'm pretty sure one of the locals is going to bring his Atari to give that genuine vibe.
We've been talking about that. Somebody has the Atari with it's hooked up with, like, I don't know, HDMI or S-Video or something. Some kind of way to put it on a huge fucking TV.
The TVs that we purchased this year for gaming have standard coaxial input. So if you have one of the later ones that has a coax cable, like the original NESs had the coax input. You could hook up an NES to these TVs. You could hook up pretty much anything at this point.
Sweet.
Yeah. Gaming. The corral this year was where tabletop gaming is, and that's going to be downstairs this year.
It's a really swank room.
Got a couple people that are going to be running RPGA and Pathfinder. They're not on the printed schedule, but there will be signage downstairs saying when. Also, Ferraticon is going to be at the con this year.
Cool.
Seppel and crew are coming down. They're doing a how to play on Friday night at looking like 9:45. That's a weird timing.
I don't think there's 45-minute increments on
there's
that.
There's not, but it's like, if it goes straight up, it's not quite in the 9:30, 10 o'clock. In any event, it's around 9:30. There's going to be the Ferraticon Learn to Play and
L2P.
Yeah, panel room downstairs.
You should say that, Ferraticon L2P.
And then there's going to be a tournament the next evening. So we've got lots of gaming. We've also got Werewolves of the Dark Arts going on in the corral. There's just tons of gaming. If you want gaming, we've got gaming. Gaming.
Gaming out the ass.
So.
Which is the new game from Ferraticon. I don't know.
Anal Vore. This is a really OP card. Engulfs an opponent. No.
Okay.
Can I play this game on Thursday?
So, I'm going to be running the Artist Alley and the Dealer's Den for Fur Planet.
and only for a planet. I bought all the tables.
Yeah, no.
Fuzzy Fiesta!
Aren't you the chairman and the guest of honor, too?
That's right, yeah. It's my god. I took it over.
So Thursday night, I'm going to be, oh my god, unpacking. That is always an interesting night to deploy out and see who shows up, see who unpacks. Friday's going to be a little bit busy to me. I have two panels I'm doing that day. They keep changing the times. I'm not sure exactly what they were on the latest revision, but I'm teaching the anatomy of wings in flight in one panel.
Which looks like 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Don't tell me chat cats have wings now, too.
No. Some of them do. They're the most awkward flyers ever.
So I'm teaching the anatomy of flight, and I'm also teaching alternative anatomy, which is tars, but also naga, mermaids, anything that it's not your standard
biped. Naga, please.
So I'm teaching those two panels on, I think they're still both on Friday. They might have changed when I wasn't looking. Saturday, I'm usually up, oh my God, late each night, cleaning up and helping with things around the con. Saturday is usually, I think it's so far just Den, unless they move one of my panels. We do have the Notcast recording that night. It's still on Saturday, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yep, so.
It's Saturday at...
It's like 9:30,
I think. 9:30 in Chanup, Chinaberry.
So it's like Den, eat dinner, rest, podcast!
And it's after Matthew Evil, so that's nice.
So
yep.
We're not actually up against anything except the Ferroticon tournament.
Yeah, I would feel bad being up against Matthew Evil.
I was going to say, it's like, man, you know, that would be the worst thing. We'd just be there in the room by ourselves at that point.
So Saturday is actually my calmest day, kind of my longest day, but definitely kind of not as much going on. Sunday, I'm, again, Den, but I'm also two panels on that day. I'm having like a little wind down tea swap meet thing in the afternoon, and then, which is just a way for people to decompress and sit back and unwind for the day. And I'm helping the chairman for 2012 Glass Ferret with a recruitment drive panel. I think it's around 11 a.m. on Sunday.
The how to join.
Yeah.
Joining the Furry Fiesta team. Yes, 11 a.m. on Sunday.
I said to Glass, you know, it's a really good thing. You should have a panel for if people want to come and, you know, talk to the con chair, get involved. He's like, yeah, you want to help me? It's like, I made a suggestion. I got to help now.
Yeah. I have no doubt that we will be expanding our staff for 2012. This year, if we crack 1,000, for sure. We definitely need to add people as it is, but... For sure, we're going to need
more people. Yeah, the staff keeps growing every year because the attendance keeps growing every year. And just
need more people to cover more hours.
Yep.
More eyes to help catch fires.
By the way, if you want to volunteer and help out, Keo will be our volunteer coordinator. He'll have a table somewhere. Where is
it? It's in the main gallery outside of the dealer's den.
Good. He'll be in a good visible spot. I think he has a light as well. So. Yes. Totally volunteer, because I know cons, not just us, all cons always need shitloads of people, even if it's just stand here for an hour and check badges or make sure nobody runs away with this DVD player in the video room or whatever the hell it is. You can help out in some way.
And there's always those people who step up and just come out of the woodwork and help. We had a problem this last week. Where we store our con stuff was endangered. There was a fire nearby, and basically the building had to be not quite. It will be eventually over renovated, but we had to get all of the stuff out of the apartment it was in into a new one. And so we put a call out, and we had people come out of the woodwork, just attendees who just came out and helped us move all the con stuff. And this was really good because we're 2 weeks before the con, so we got all of our stuff in. This is like when we have all kinds of stock in, all our purchased items. Our storage is packed full, whereas after the con, it's kind of empty. So we had to move all of the stuff, and just attendees were great.
Yeah.
And they just helped.
Because if where we had stored shit had burned down, oh God.
Yeah.
Oh God.
We do have insurance, so we would have been okay eventually. It's just the con would have been a little bit
sparse.
Well, yeah. We would be doing a lot of paper registration because all of our reg computers were in there.
Yeah, and even with insurance, it takes a little while to be reimbursed.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, we couldn't repurchase everything for this year. But luckily, that does not seem to be a problem, so that's good.
So volunteers are awesome, and I wanted to give a shout-out to the ones that helped. It was Beowulf. There was Quidditch and his wife. Vaporfox came out. My mate, who's not actually staff, despite getting drafted into so many things.
He's your mate. He's staff, whether he likes it or not.
Yeah, and sorry. They just came out, and especially like a Beowulf, he came out and he hauled stuff up and down those two flights of stairs all day long.
Max Jaguar,
yep, who's Max Jaguar.
Staffer's mate, which...
You know, same
you're as obligated to help now.
So just these people have gone above and beyond, and they were so awesome.
Yeah. Like, I'm not staff anymore, but I still ended up making, like, half the damn calendars.
Well, I came
That's
over.
My volunteer hours. Woo.
You know, I was there with Shiva, you know.
Pumping them out.
Yep. So, I mean, this is definitely something that our entire local community is involved with to some extent. Well, our little circle is involved with to some degree or another. So, I mean, we all throw in a lot. So, hopefully we'll see a lot of y'all at the con. So, on that note, we should probably go back to emails.
Yeah, I think we have one each left, if I recall correctly. Who do we leave off with?
Then? I read the last one, so Shiva.
Yep.
She should have two left.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because it's read five, then four.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Hey, Notcast. I want to say I'm sorry if I made everyone or anyone worry from my last email. I was feeling really shitty about my position in a love triangle. I wasn't sure how to process my thoughts and had no add of alcohol to lessen my pain. Okay. And I just wanted to let myself go for a little for the first time. Since my last email, I took my boyfriend and was determined to get things straight with us and his fuck buddy. It took like 3 hours of conversation with breaks in between to get out of the house and talk somewhere more privately and a bit romantically for our location. Everything was understood, and I settled down from all my pent-up feelings and not all from the love triangle. With that, the month went by, and just yesterday, my boyfriend gave his friend the gift of a handjob, and with neither one coming like they wished, more like a week release, if anything, it's quick and done with. The weight lifted off his shoulders and promised that he would not have contact with him on the subject of sex till his grades improve, or maybe till he graduates or something like that. I'm not entirely sure about with our point system, he's going to save them and most likely wait for a month or so, seeing how our anniversary is on February 14th. Cheesy, I know. Even just after that event, he told me he felt a little awkward with his fuck buddy being a little clingy and huggy with him after they finished, and he still can't look him in the eye. This all said to help me feel better and that in the end of it all, I will be the one he comes back to at the end of the day. So now I have more faith in him, and sorry if I sound a little bitchy or whiny. This is my first relationship, and this was a curveball to me. I am a lot better, and sorry to say, both me and my mate haven't been able to listen to you guys. Nothing technical, but I found another podcast that has us both laughing and reminiscing with Jay and Silent Bob in their Getting Old podcast. Thanks for the Smodcast Network, Fuzz. We will see what we have planned for our date, and we'll send a little response to you or anyone wants to know. If not, then I'll just be with my mate, and we'll be catching up with your episodes. Sorry for my brick wall of text. Hope you don't look down on me. Sincerely, Crafty Kitty.
Judging you.
I'm judging you silently. Actually, no, I'm not.
Yeah, you know, sometimes when you write an email, it's a good idea to let it percolate a little bit, let it sit, mellow, you know,
come back,
cure, age, you know, euphemism.
Let it furculate.
Anyways.
And read it and then hit the X button.
But, you know, that happens. I'm a little curious about the point system. It's like, sorry, giving someone a hand job, that's 2 points off your license. If you did too many, I'm revoking it. You can't give hand jobs anymore.
Like you burst into the bedroom in the middle of the hand job. I just got your report card. Hand job revoked. And you just remove the guy's hand from his dick. And then they're both their heads droop and they're like, aww.
Or you pop in like the vegan police and depower him. Other than that, yes, Smodcast Network's great.
as are boobs, apparently.
Yeah, boobs are great.
Where did that come from?
It's an old joke
with Stafford. It's Stafford. An old joke. Back when I went and visited my grandparents 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
Grandpa was like, I know, we can go to Hootersville. And I was like, yeah, boobs are great.
I agree, boobs are great.
So, Fuzz.
What?
You should read an email.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we're doing a podcast, so.
Okay. Okay. Notice subject line is a word I've never seen before. Ithacapella.
Ah, yes.
Okay. Hello again from the kitten trapped in a giant sandbox up north. Sam here with a little bit of info you guys might be interested in.
Is that Sam or same?
I'm assuming Sam, because I don't think it might not be the same. It might not be the same person as Sam. I am not. On iTunes, oh, dude, you misspelled it. You spelled it capital I, lowercase t. It should be the other way around. Steve Jobs is going to, like, break in. He's going to climb in your windows and go snatch your liver up.
Dude.
What? Sorry, is that a sore subject?
That's is that, just mean.
Is that not healed yet?
He's not dead. Yet. Read the email.
He's full of iPods. That's the secret. They're going to crack him open like an iPod Fold pinata. He will live forever in your ears. Oh. Hey, I like iPods. I'm correcting his spelling. You can't spell iTunes with an uppercase I. What the fuck?
Read the email.
Okay. All right. All right. I'm padding us out here for time. No.
We are plenty padded, dear.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Fatter and suspicious as her.
I just meant that we've been rambling enough.
Oh, okay. It's another naughty ramble cast. Actually, no, this is a very cool thing that he's going to point out here if and when I decide to continue reading the email. Because honestly, annoying Saffron is a lot of fun. I might not want to stop. On iTunes, there is a group called Ithacapella Premium Blend. And Saffron, you could put that into show notes because people probably can't tell how that's spelled from what I'm saying. They did their own rendition of Katy Perry's song Fireworks. Why is this important, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. Right now, you can buy the song on iTunes for 99 cents, and all the proceeds go to the Trevor Foundation.
Oh.
I wasn't sure if you guys had heard about this already or not, so I wanted to write in and tell you. I definitely appreciate you letting us know I didn't know about this. In other news, I talked to my mate and told him to stop being so damn furry. And he apologized and said he would try his best. Okay, so this is the same Sam. My bad. Sorry, dude. We'll see how well that holds since he is coming over to my house on Saturday. Until next time, Sam O.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It's always good to help the Trevor Foundation and all them.
Oh, yeah, totally. And that's a very important cause. I'll probably be donating more to it later in the year.
That song.
I haven't heard. I don't really know who Katy Perry is, other than I see people either loving or hating her on Twitter.
She's the one that, like, I kissed a girl, right?
No, that was, well, there's two songs called that.
Oh.
There was the one from the 90s that Jill Sobule did, and then there was another one from the noughties that was different.
I pay so little attention to pop music.
I mean, the newest pop music I downloaded was Gaga's new single over the weekend. But apart from that, I mean, because I never use my radio in the car. I listen to NPR or download podcasts or something.
So. I've been listening to Harry Dresden for like the last 6 months.
Oh, like audiobooks?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So this is kind of funny. He's like, stop being so goddamn furry. It was a good reason. If you don't know why, he listened to the last episode.
Yeah. Well, hope this isn't someone's first episode, and then they're like, what? Why are you telling people to stop being furry?
No.
Although there was a point that another podcaster made that every episode is somebody's first episode.
Yeah.
That's why it is kind of important to still have to throw out, like, the contact info and shit like that, so...
We should remember to do that.
We should remember to do that.
Yes. So, this next email goes to me. Shamrahada. Subject, Furry Fiesta and Stuff. Greetings, famous podcast persons in Dallas. Well, well, it's almost upon us, the joy of Furry Fiesta. I'm quite happy to say I'll be there, as I had a blast at last year's con.
Awesome.
Of the cons I've attended, it ranks right up there as one of the best ran and most fun cons, furry or otherwise. I especially like both the hotel and its locations, with so many places to eat and stuff that's close. I'm considering riding my bike down if the weather's nice enough, but that's got me thinking. I'd have all my leather stuff, chaps and vest and jacket, and with Bucktown being there as the magician slash random black guy, we just need an Indian, a construction worker, a soldier, and a cowboy, and then we can form as the village people. Maybe some of the Knockcast crew could help with that.
That would fit in with the 70s theme.
For songs, here's two that leap to mind. Easy ones, YMCA, the Yiffy Male Club of America, or In the Navy, because Navy is the name of the cute otter I've met. I've also wanted to send a message to the writer from last week that mentioned worrying about coming out as a furry to his girlfriend in 3 years. The Knockcast advice of treating it casual is completely the way to go. I've not had the fun of telling a dating partner about it, but I've gotten to tell all my non-furry friends about the fandom. They wondered why I was going to Oklahoma last Halloween, so I told them about the fandom like it was just another hobby, which for me it is. He's the guy that brought us the Kahlua.
Oh, really? Episode.
Yeah.
That was delicious.
Nice.
Thank you again. That it was yummy.
Their response was just a shrug, and they thought it no stranger than my bike riding or reading way too much sci-fi and fantasy novels or playing on the computer. Hell, for Christmas, they pulled some money and paid for me to go super sponsor at Fiesta this year. Not one of them is into furry in the least, so just relax and treat it casual. So will most other people.
Awesome.
Guess that's all from me now. I can't wait to see everyone at the con, both the few I know and all the people I'll get to meet. Your mudslide-slinging, motorcycle-riding, mostly sane lion from Arkansas, Rahada.
Did he mention in there if he was bringing us more mudslides?
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, we'll guilt him into it now, apparently.
The cast is on Saturday night if you want to bring some by.
There's a liquor store right down the street. There's like a whole string of them, actually.
My birthday is on Friday.
Can you tell that we like this?
Yes. Then there's a PS, mostly for you, Fuzz, like you've already seen it. But just in case you haven't, today I listened to an audiobook by Tom Baker called The Boy Who Kicked Pigs. He is the author and does the reading, which makes it very cool to listen to. At the end, there's even a little interview with him about it and about being the doctor. He's still the best one to me, and he's the one I'll always remember watching while a kid. Anyway, that just thought I'd mention it. Laters.
I haven't listened to it or read the book yet, but I am familiar with it, and it's something I should check out when I have a chance here. But yeah, very cool. And another Doctor Who fan writes into the show.
One of us.
Yes, and on to the lightning round final email from Shiva.
Hey, actually, it's got like 6 paragraphs, so it's...
I thought you were going to say it's got 6 pages.
Like, no, paragraphs.
Oh my god.
Subject, like an otter out of hell. Knockcast. It's Island here with an update on my abusive situation. I've ended this nightmare of a relationship. It ended with lots of tears from the other person and none from me. I refuse to show the weakness to this leech. I thought it funny when he kept telling me he loved me, when in fact he only loved what I represented. He loved the fact that I brought in money, he loved the fact that I was something he could claim like a possession, and he loved the fact that I was basically a status symbol in the furry community. For some reason, relationships to be a requirement to be taken seriously as a furry anymore. I don't understand it, but I digress to the topic best left for another email. He cried a lot trying to get me to stay with him because he seems to think he can't pay his own way in the world. Well, if he were to get rid of the lease on the 60-inch television, drop the cable, actually took care of his money like a responsible person, he'd be doing just fine. He doesn't need the television and the 3D shit he has with it. He doesn't need the PS3 or surround system. My official leave date for this hellhole will be February 28th, the date the lease ends, and I am free from that contract. I'll be moving back to Missouri to get all my shit together and finish school with at least my associates. Two friends of mine are giving me a place to live so long as I pay my share of the bills, which I will because I'm not a leech and I already have my job transfer underway by the time you read this. I'll be packing my car once, and whatever I will leave behind will belong to him. For those who missed my email with the backstory of this, here's a fast rundown. Boyfriend is a leech and an emotional monster. Not responsible and does nothing but waste money on things that are not needed. Which meant we had no money for food after bills and such. Plus, he belittled me and was the cause of 2 emotional breakdowns within a couple weeks of each other. As of now, I'm swearing off relationships with people altogether until I feel safe enough to jump back into the dating pool. Looks like Mr. Righty and Mr. Lefty will be getting their workout for a while. Oh, well. Not like it's going to cause me to go blind and get hairy palms, right? So now I leave you all with some very wise words from my supervisor. Life's too short for you not to be happy. Do what makes you feel happy and live life without permission. The Otter Husky from Missouri Island.
Very good advice.
Yes.
And I'm glad that you've started to put that shit into motion.
And kicked his butt to the curb.
Yeah.
Douchebags.
Yeah.
Indeed. So.
Bitches and whores. Ah.
So.
It's good that you're getting away from that shitty situation. And, you know, you don't have to have a relationship to be a furry, obviously. It is, like, a big deal for a lot of furs. But if you don't make it a big deal, it's not going to be a big deal.
Yeah, I guess, I think that might be an issue because a lot of furs are young.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Plus lonely. A lot of furs tend to come from lonely, geeky backgrounds. And they're looking for people, whether it's friends or someone to love. I mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just reaching
out. It's definitely an age thing, I think, for a lot of that. You know, I'm, you know, blah, and I've got my mate, and we're going to live forever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. They want somebody to love. They need somebody to love.
They're never going to give them up or put them
down. Yeah.
Anyhow.
So, yes.
Wow, this was really something.
What?
Well, I've never really fucked with Google Earth, and there's an app for it on my phone. So it starts out with the fucking planet, and you can zoom in all the way to, like, street view.
Mm-hmm.
So you can zoom in and look in my window now.
Yes.
So.
And I can climb in it.
Next week's episode, our live show at Furry Fiesta.
Doom, 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 doom. Ah! Or something.
Yes. It'll be an episode about the 70s and what everybody remembers from the 70s.
I don't remember much. I was 3.
Oh, my God.
No, it's not going to be about the 70s because we don't have enough people that know about the 70s anymore.
We're all little kids.
Well, okay. I'm 27.
You weren't
80s. I was born in 83.
Well, so you were, you know, like negative 4 at the end of the 70s.
Yes. So. We'll have to announce the topic pretty quick here, but I don't have one ready.
Well, it's a live show. We don't really have a topic.
That's true. It's going to be an open topic show, really, in that case.
Yeah, open topic show. Write us a couple of warm-up emails. We won't be reading a lot of email because we'll hopefully be having some audience interaction and all that. So.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be really good, like the Oklacon show, and not really bad, like the last Furry Fiesta show.
Hopefully we don't have technical difficulties.
Yes, technical difficulties.
You have noted that, marked that bad cable and tossed it, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, we have.
Very good. So, I guess, I also have a booty spank app.
A booty spank?
Yeah, you can, it's a little hand that you can...
It sounds like a bird squawk, not like a booty.
You can actually. You can change the shape of the hand and the sound effect in the background. And the chick. You can make it look like an anime chick.
Can you make it look like a guy?
No, you can't make it look like a guy.
Oh. Well, that sucks.
But like I said, everyone's got an ass and an asshole. So it's
thank all you good. For that final moment of what the fuck. And on that note, good night.
And big